2005-12, referred to as Haymark or Hayfield. Mr. Lanky here, and Mr. Griffin.
This is an appeal under the subdivision appeal ordinance. Appeal of La Crosse Homes of Delaware, Inc., subdivision 2005-12, the Hayfield subdivision. On these types of hearings, we typically don't have Mr. Lank give us any preview. The applicant is represented. After the applicant has made their presentation, then we will give an opportunity for anyone else who is here and interested in this matter, whether they have a question, objection, or whatever, to come forward and be recognized and to so that we can hear their comments also. Mr. Fuquay.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Gentlemen, for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, La Crosse Homes of Delaware. I was fascinated hearing your future high-tech plans back there, but this is going to be a very low-tech presentation I'm going to make.
We're used to that.
I didn't say simple, George. I said low-tech. With me is John Dixon and Kim Burke, who are with La Crosse Homes, and also Zach Crouch of Davis Bowen and Friedel, who were the engineers on this application and prepared the site design. And I'm not planning on taking up a lot of your time. I just want to basically present to you what I think happened and why I think this should be approved, this application. On March 9th, 2006, La Crosse Homes subdivision application for their proposed Hayfield subdivision was denied by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that decision was appealed to the council as permitted under the subdivision ordinance, and we are here today to request that you reverse that denial and approve Hayfield. Now, normally, not that I've actually never done an appeal before the council of a subdivision before, but normally I would think I would present the evidence and the testimony that was presented at the public hearing for the record. I would basically then address the relevant issues and cite the relevant law to you in an attempt to convince you that Hayfield should have been approved, but I'm not going to do that. I think basically that the evidence that was presented and the applicable law was not the reason that Hayfield was denied. For the record and for your reference, obviously the record before the Planning and Zoning Commission is in the Planning and Zoning Office. I've also submitted some additional appeal exhibits. I submitted the Planning and Zoning minutes for the Hayfield public hearing. I submitted the Planning Commission's reasons for its denial of the Hayfield application, as well as minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission's approval of several nearby subdivisions. I also submitted the applicant's point-by-point response to the Commission's reasons for denial, which I believe a copy of that have been submitted to you, and I'm not going to read that in the record. You have a copy of that to review. And also, we did have a transcript. Going back to what you were just talking about, we actually had a transcript of the Planning and Zoning public hearing prepared, and that has been submitted to the record. So if you cared to review that hearing, there is a copy of that transcript in the record. The record that was presented at the Planning and Zoning Commission basically showed that the application was in compliance with the Sussex County zoning ordinance and with the AR zoning category, that it was in compliance with the county land use plan, that it addressed the considerations that are listed in Section 99.9C of the subdivision ordinance, and that's that list of criteria that's supposed to be addressed for subdivision, and it also addressed the criteria that's listed in the AR cluster option ordinance. The Hayfield site design, which is shown on this plan right here, was far superior to a regular subdivision type of plan. The original site plan that Davis Bowen and Friedel had prepared was revised to incorporate many suggestions that had been made during the PLUS review with the state agencies, and that resulted in a site plan, as shown right there, that contains 350 lots on 175 acres, and that is 2 per acre, which is permitted under the cluster ordinance. This site plan has a 40% open space provision that includes substantial recreation facilities. The site was designed and redesigned to preserve approximately 65% of the pre-development wooded area as standing wooded sections. And down in this corner right here, there were some wetlands down in here, and none of those wetlands are being encroached. There are no wetlands with any lot lines. And Davis Bowen and Friedel actually designed this, that there is approximately 100-foot buffer created from these non-tidal federal wetlands. And as you know, I do a lot of developments, and it's seldom that I've had any development that actually had a 100-foot buffer from the federal wetlands. The development would be served by central water from Tidewater. It's going to have a central sewer system that would be operated, again, by a public utility company. And DENREC had issued a feasibility letter for the on-site central system. Also, there was a traffic impact study that was prepared. DelDOT had reviewed it, and DelDOT had indicated what improvements the developer would be required to contribute to. At the public hearing that was held on this application, no one appeared in opposition. And I want to repeat that. Not one person appeared in opposition to this application. Now, why then was Hayfield denied with that record? And the reason for the denial of Hayfield can be summed up in two words: Isaac's Glen. That's why Hayfield was denied. Now, I need to tell you a story about some bad timing, and this is what happened to Hayfield. On February 2nd, 2005, Hayfield actually went to Dover to the PLUS meeting and presented the proposed Hayfield subdivision to the state agencies. And then after receiving comments on March 9th, 2005, the Hayfield subdivision application was actually filed by Davis Bowen and Friedel with Sussex County. Now, as you know, the way things work, once that application was filed, it basically gets in line for a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that public hearing takes about 1 year to get from the date of filing to the date of hearing. So while Hayfield was waiting for its public hearing during that 1 year, the Isaac's Glen original application, which was the MRRPC application, was in the process. Public hearings were held on that, and as you gentlemen know, you denied that MRRPC application, but Isaac's Glen was granted the option of refiling as a subdivision, and if they did that, that was going to be scheduled on an expedited basis. Isaac's Glen did refile as a cluster subdivision. That was scheduled on an expedited basis, and the Isaac's Glen public hearing was held on January 12, 2006, which just happened to be the meeting right before the Hayfield application ended up being scheduled for. So Hayfield basically was scheduled at the meeting after the Isaac's Glen application. And again, I think as you know, Hayfield is not only located on one of the same roads as Isaac's Glen, but Hayfield actually borders part of the western boundary of Isaac's Glen. So Hayfield is next to Isaac's Glen. And in presenting this, LaCrosse and I both knew that the fate of the 350 lots comprising Hayfield would be greatly influenced, if not directly controlled, by the decision on the 1,600-lot Isaac's Glen development. Now, I'm familiar with both these applications because, as you gentlemen remember, I did represent both applications. And that was with the full agreement of both the clients, because everyone recognized that these applications, due to their nature and their location, were linked together. And when the commission denied Isaac's Glen, I'm sure that the commission felt that they had no choice but to deny the adjacent Hayfield application, and quite frankly, regardless of the record presented. I think that the situation arose where how could you approve one without the other, or how could you deny one without the other? So basically, when Isaac's Glen sunk at the time of the planning and zoning meeting, it basically pulled Hayfield down in its wake. So it was just absolutely unfortunate timing as far as the Hayfield application was concerned. Now, that is the reality of what happened. I mean, the record, like I said, everything's been submitted, and it's in the record, and you certainly can review that, but that's really what happened. And I would state that we all know that at times life is not fair, and that is true. However, at all times, government and its institutions in enforcing its laws must be fair. And that's really what the rule of law is all about. that people are treated fairly. Now, I have submitted a point-by-point response to the commission's reasons. I think that those reasons, or my reasons, point out the lack of a factual basis and the lack of a legal basis for the denial of Hayfield. We all know that Isaac's Glen had created a storm at the state level, and basically the commission overlooked what I believe the law permits, and basically went with where the pressure from the state was pushing it. And I think the Planning Commission not only overlooked what the law permits, but also overlooked what the county had already, in effect, permitted in terms of subdivisions. And in this immediate area, the commission, before the Hayfield or the Isaac's Glen application, had approved the Hummingbird Meadows subdivision. And that's a subdivision of 205 lots. That subdivision actually had on-site septic and on-site water, individual on-site septic and on-site water. And that's just located west of the Hayfield site on Hummingbird Road, just less than a mile away. And after the Hayfield application, in fact, 2 weeks after the Hayfield denial, on March 23rd, 2006, the commission approved the Captain's Way subdivision, which was a subdivision of 494 lots. And that property has some frontage on Reynolds Pond Road, which again is less than a mile from the Hayfield site. When the Isaac's Glen appeal was presented to you by Bill Manning, one of the exhibits that was submitted was a cluster grid that showed the cluster subdivisions that had been reviewed and approved by the county, and that was as of 4 months ago, and I've submitted that in my exhibits also. But what that showed was that of 24 of the 26 approved cluster subdivisions that had been approved were outside of a development district. In other words, they were located in the low-density area under the land use plan, the AR area. And that's where Hayfield is located. And why were so many of those located there? Well, it's obvious why they were located there. They're permitted to be located there. That's what our law says. And then
this was a map that Zach had prepared, just showing the area. And just for your bearings here, right here is Hayfield, and what I just was referring to, down the road, Hummingbird Meadows, that's the subdivision with on-site septic and wells, located right down Isaac's Road, or not Isaac's Road, but Hummingbird Road.
Is that Route 16 just below you there, Jim?
Route 16 is right here.
Is that it, Lynn?
Yeah.
Route 16 going in there.
Yeah, Route 16 is right there.
And
Captain's Run has an entrance on Route 16. And then runs through to Reynolds Pond Road here, again, less than a mile from.
And where's Route 30 cross over there?
Route 30 is, here's Isaac's Glen here. Route 30 comes right up here.
Okay.
It goes right through Isaac's Glen. And then north of the site, this is showing other subdivisions in the area. The villages of Elizabethtown, which is not approved yet, and I don't think technically is even applied for yet, that was the North Milton project that was kicked around with Milton. And here, I think it's being refiled in the county. And again, that's what's going on in that area.
How many, Hummingbird subdivision, what is the density there?
It's 200.
Site systems.
It's 205 lots.
Hold on.
I think it's got 3/4 acre lots.
So it's a lot less dense than.
It's probably 1.2 or 3.
It's not a cluster, though. It's just a normal subdivision.
It's a cluster under the other option,
okay.
That where you could reduce your lot size to half acre,
right.
if the soils are okay.
Is that right, Shane? Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, most importantly of everything, I mean, up to now, I'd say, based on the record, Hayfield should be overturned and approved. Of course, the other most important event that occurred was back on July 18th, the county council overturned the denial of Isaac's Glen, and in that overturning that decision, they cited what is the correct legal standard to review a subdivision. As I said, Hayfield is almost literally joined at the hip with Isaac's Glen. Hayfield went down because of Isaac's Glen, and in the interest of fairness and to correct what I feel was an injustice in terms of the application of the applicable law, Hayfield should resurface just like Isaac's Glen, and I believe it's entitled to your approval. I've submitted to you also, which I think you have copies of, some proposed conditions and also some proposed findings. And if you've had a chance to look at that, you can see that I based them as closely as I could on the conditions and the findings that the council made on the Isaac's Glen approval. And I think that the decision is very clear. I think the record is very clear. And I recognize that if you have any questions for myself or Mr. Dixon or for Zach, we will try to answer them.
So you're suggesting, and now here we've had these two, Isaac's Glen, now this one, that planning and zoning really has no ability to restrict development, say no to development anywhere in the county, I guess, as long as the developer comes in and meets the minimal regulations, I guess, or the ordinance. They have no ability to say no.
I would answer that. Well, I mean, to answer that yes or no, I'd say that's correct.
They don't have the ability to say no.
Under the circumstances you said, and that is that our, and let's talk about the AR low density area, because I think that's what this
right,
is about.
Right.
We have a land use plan that specifically recognizes in that low density area that single family residential use is a permitted use at a density of 2 lots per acre. In our zoning ordinance, we have the AR zone, and that specifically says that one of the purposes of that zone is for single-family residential use, and that a permitted use in that zone is single-family residential lots, again, at a density of 20,000 square foot lots is what the zoning ordinance says. And then, of course, the cluster ordinance, I mean, it's called the AR cluster ordinance. It was specifically created to address the AR area and to say that in that area you can have single-family lots and you can cluster or reduce those lot sizes down to 7,500 square feet. And then, of course, there was an amendment to that ordinance that now says on new applications that density is reduced. Instead of 2 lots per acre, it's 1.5 lots per
acre. And you're suggesting, because that ordinance, the cluster housing ordinance is there, that the if the developer chooses to take the cluster housing route, that planning and zoning doesn't have the ability to say no. Another way would be a superior development.
Well, no,
based on agencies comments, and it seems like a lot of the agency comments. What would DNREC say about this project, Lawrence? Or you want to run down? Did the Planning and Zoning Commission rely on any agency comments in their when they came to the conclusion?
You could read the plus comments.
Well, yes, they did. And the commission had almost 3 pages of reasons that they felt it should be rejected.
And they were based on credible agency reports. None of it was just conjured up at the table there. That
I don't know. I wasn't the person who made the motion, so I don't know where.
Okay, but I'm just
based
saying.
Based on the record of what he heard and what he heard in presentations and. As Jim said, it wasn't the opposition, so I really couldn't base on opposition.
You don't really. But on the agency reports, was there any positive agency reports for the development?
I can't say without going back to the record again.
Off the top of your head, Mr. Attorney, do you remember any
positive
agency?
We had comments
agency?
In reference to the plus process, and that was item number 4 of the.
Because there's a process.
Yeah, Mr. Cole, to answer your question, when we did the revisions, the original plus letter started from the premise that this is in a level 4 area and the state does not want development in level 4. And that's the predominant theme of letters on this application as well as other applications that are in the level 4. When Zach made the changes to the plan, we did get a nod of thank you for making some changes. However, you're still in a level 4 area and we still don't want it there.
Okay, in other words, there isn't any written evidence of any of the agencies that were any positive comments on your subdivision. That's what I'm trying to find out.
Negative.
Was there? Pardon?
The comments that we got, and they were just in summary from the plus comments,
right,
was that the project was outside of an area where the state and local government have planned for growth, so the state opposes the proposal. The state has no plans to invest in infrastructure upgrades or additional services such as schools, police, and transportation for the area. That's still B of number 4. The Office of State Planning Coordination is opposed to the project and is generally concerned that the project is out of character with the surrounding area. And indeed, the State Department of Agriculture has stated that the site is designated as both high-value cropland and forest land in accordance with the state's green infrastructure priorities map Consequently, the state is recommending other alternative methods of development for the property. That's pretty much what the state gives.
I guess the question that needs to be asked, some of these state agencies, DENRAC, BELDOT, maybe others, are they, is your applicant required to get permits from them throughout the process?
No, I mean, certainly from DELDOT as far as entrance and things like that, but no, there's no permitting from DENRAC or anything else involved in this.
I guess for your sewer and water, there might be.
Well, the sewer permits, but we have a feasibility from DENRAC already on that.
Okay, so the question is, if they have objections, wouldn't they have the legal authority to say no at the permitting level?
No.
If there was a permit required, I think, obviously, this is an issue that you've kicked around a lot before, but here's the bottom line on it. Once you're in a level four, the state's going to be against it. I mean, that's what they've decided. And we hit that on a lot of applications. And one of the exhibits I submitted that's in the record is it's an excerpt from the state strategies plan. This is where the level four thing comes from. And this is actually the first page of the state strategies plan. This is where level four, level one, two, three, and four are all established. And what their document says is, the strategies for the state policies and spending will be used to guide state agency operating and capital budget request. It's a spending document. It's something, it's a guideline for them to determine where they're going to spend money. It goes on to say, remember, this is from their document. It goes on to say, it is equally important to note that while this document and map series direct state investments, it is not a land use plan. In Delaware, the state has delegated land use authority to the local governments. Now, that's what their plan says, yet they're using that level four designation to come in and treat it exactly as if it's a land use plan. When I go up to a plus meeting, if I'm in a level four, the only comment I get up there is, we don't really want this because it's in a level four and it's against the livable Delaware agenda, et cetera, et cetera. It got to the point where the last time I was up there, I actually said, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm coming up here to get comments on a plan that under our zoning ordinance in Sussex County is permitted if I can meet the requirements of the ordinance. And you're not giving me any comments. All you're telling me is you don't want it. And it's a waste of my time to come up here if that's how this is going to work. And we had a discussion about that. But that's what they're doing. They're using it as a state land use plan.
But wait.
Mr. Cole, to get back to your question, though, can the Planning and Zoning Commission, can they say no or yes? Of course, that's their job. But when the law is established that this is what the law is, if you can address the law and you can address those considerations, then yes, you're entitled to approval. And no, they can't deny something if you can meet all the requirements of the law.
Well, I've always felt that they're allowed to say no if they base their reasoning and rationale on solid, you know, testimony. And when I look down at their reasons, they do seem very thorough, and the decisions made at local. I think what planning office at the state level is doing is making a recommendation. I don't think they're making decisions. They understand they can't. So it falls back on our local level. So at the local level, they did say no. And as I read through here, they looked like they were very thorough in the areas they touched on. And maybe they're learning, because when they're vague and not specific, they get in trouble. Like on Isaac's Glen, maybe was a little more vague. Was this decision after Isaac's Glen?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So possibly they saw what was happening with Isaac's Glen. They understood, maybe our legal counsel understood, that there were some problems, but they still have the ability to say no based on good, credible evidence. And the question in my mind is, did they have good comments to hang their hat on in this particular case? And as I look down and read through some of this, it seems like they touched on a lot of the areas.
Well, when you say they can make a decision based on good, credible evidence, it's a little more than that. It has to be good, credible evidence that is related to the legal standard that they are judging it upon. They can't arbitrarily make up reasons and make up guides that you have to hit.
Could you point out an arbitrary reason why they decided?
Did you read my response to the reasons?
I was looking at it, but I'm going to ask.
That's a no answer.
Yeah, well, I submitted.
No, Mr. Jones, I've read them.
George,
I've read them.
Okay.
But I'm not being smart, but I mean, I submitted in great detail my response to that, and right. I mean, I could go through that if you want me to, but basically. You know, what happened was many of those reasons in the Hayfield decision are identical to the reasons that were stated in the Isaac's Glen decision, that this council has already overturned, and I cite in there some of the comments. For instance, the state says, we have ag preservation in this area, therefore you can't develop it. And
where did they say you can't develop it? Where did the words
well,
where did the words can't develop it appear?
Well, they said we don't want it developed and we recommend you deny it so it won't be developed because the state has invested funds in this area.
Show me how they made those comments. That's your interpretation. I think they just said it's close to an agricultural preservation district.
No.
What other, I mean.
No, it says that, George. I mean, it really does say that.
Show me that, because that's not in here, but show me that in one of the testimonies where they actually said all that.
Do you have the plus letter there?
Anybody got a plus letter? Show me where the.
In your pack. It's in that pack.
I think you're adding to it because that's your job, and I understand that. I'm just trying to question it, make it sound like.
No, I'm not adding to it.
They didn't go that far, I don't
know. No, I'm not adding to it, but I'll tell you what, I'll go beyond what I said. The Planning Commission created this record, this decision, in order to deny this application based on what they said on Isaac's Glen. As I said, a lot of it's verbatim from Isaac's Glen. And it's not the criteria, it's not the law that exists in Sussex County at this time. And as I said to them, and I've said to you before too, if this isn't what you want, if this isn't the law you want, then you have the ability to change the law to what you want. But
well, I can remember you coming in, you know, testifying during the public hearing probably. I'm speculating, but I'm sure you did, saying when we had this cluster housing, how it's a great thing and all this other stuff. Did you know at that time you'd have the ability to twist everyone around and basically make the land use plan
useless?
Well, George,
first of all, what you just said isn't true. I didn't testify here on that.
Could I say something?
Yeah, I can't remember. You testified in so many of these things.
This is an appeal hearing, and we typically allow the appellant to choose what they present to us. They have given us the transcript. They've given us their point-by-point response. And I suggest that we do have some other business today, and we schedule this for 15 minutes. And I don't think Mr. Fuqua actually planned the presentation to be this long. Let's let him finish, and then after this, if there's anyone else here to be heard, we'll do that. And then after everybody has read the transcript and read the submissions, we'll talk about it and decide what you want to do regarding this. And at that time, we can debate all these issues.
Can I, among
ourselves.
While you have the floor, you have reviewed all their comments and stuff. Have you, because your legal staff helped put this together.
My legal staff didn't put anything together regarding this appeal. It was Mr. Fuqua.
But your legal staff sat there and helped planning and zoning put together their rationale for denial, correct?
Well, Mr. Robertson does attend those meetings, but individual members of the commission come up with the recommendation they want to make. Mr. Robertson doesn't just pull these out of his head.
But he's given guidance, he's told
by someone, this is what I want to have you read into the record.
Well, we could just have Robin there if he's just sitting there, knee-jerk reaction, whatever they say. He does give advice,
well,
right?
I think this does, in your leader. Question does go beyond the scope of what we're here for today.
You're as good as he is.
I think we need to. If you want to air that type of thing, that should be done.
I'm just curious. There is legal counsel there putting together these things, and they are in a format that you would think that if there was a problem with defending something, wouldn't Mr. Robinson say, "I got a problem with that area and the way it's worded," and massage it a little bit, or don't you?
I'm not going to speak for him. Okay. If you want him to come before you and talk about those types of things, we can. Okay. It's not part of this hearing.
Mr. Dix wants to ask a couple questions.
Mr. Fuqua, two questions.
Yes. Mr. Fuqua, the plus comments in B there, it says they have no plans to invest in infrastructure or additional services, blah, blah, blah. Is that just a generic comment, or has the applicant asked the state for participation in infrastructure and financial support?
It's a generic comment. In effect, what they're saying, in a level four area, the state does not have any spending plans.
Okay.
As a result of that, we, the applicant, would be responsible for any water improvements, any sewer improvements, and any road improvements as required by the TIS and as reviewed by Delta.
Second question. We have a certified plan, certified and okayed by the state. In your opinion, this application meet our comprehensive land use plan for 2002?
It absolutely meets it. I mean, it was planned based on that plan. And that's exactly the way it was designed, and I agree. Our existing land use plan, which permits this, in the, quote, low-density area. Yeah, and that's, I think that's a dead giveaway. It's not called the no-density area. It's called the low-density area.
Thank you.
But the state calls it future development area.
And if I can just, Mr. Cole, just to answer the question, just for the record, since you asked me something.
Are you picking on me today?
No, no. The, I did not testify on the cluster ordinance. I don't think you'll ever see me over here testifying about policy. My attitude is, you make the policy, then I'll remind you what the policy is. I don't think the cluster ordinance has been abused, though. I think it's been permitted.
It's been a disaster.
It's permitted.
No, it is.
In your opinion.
You know, it's hard to talk with you guys up here.
Yeah. He wants to always debate me, but that's okay.
The cluster ordinance has permitted some good design that would have just been cookie cutter type subdivisions. And the question you asked, were you implied that I made up the Department of Agriculture's response about ag preservation? The actual comment in the plus comments is the Delaware Department of Agriculture is opposed to this rezoning request.
Okay.
In addition, the preservation activity in this area demonstrates the neighborhood's strong agricultural and preservation ethic and preference. So in effect, what they were saying is some of the people in this area have a strong ethic and preference to preserve their lands. Now, some of these people got paid to do that, and what they said, everybody should have to do that. Another farmer shouldn't be allowed to sell their land or do something else with their land.
They didn't say all that. They just said there's land preservation occurring in this area, which does send the message to any intelligent person that, yes, people, if there's a lot of that happening in a certain area, that there are farmers in that area that are truly farmers, where there's versus farmers who want to sell. Both of them are making money on this whole deal. The farmland preservation people are getting money from the state, or the farmer who sells to the developer is making money. So money's on the table for all of them. But that didn't you added on
Mr. Cole. But then they said they're opposed to this rezoning request. They didn't want the other farmer to get that money on the table. They want it all preserved.
But Jim, they also said that it's high-quality farmland. They also made other...
That's not relevant to what we're talking about, Mr. Cole. You're changing the subject now.
No, wait. The Agriculture Department makes more than just one comment.
Mr.
They
Cole.
Made a number of comments of why they opposed it.
Mr. Cole,
In summary, the council, again, you've already ruled on that. On the Isaacs Glen, you already recognized that the preservation activity can happen. People get paid for that. It's a voluntary deal, but that's not meant to affect other people who have to comply with the law about notice, about building, and other things. That's what the law is. Gentlemen, that's the application. Obviously, I don't want to stand here and argue all day about.
Well, in summary, what Mr. Cole's question was, does the Planning and Zoning Commission have the ability to say no because they think is enough in an area? And you're
they had good reasons.
Well, I understand that, but that's
basically. If you look at the reason.
And you're saying no because the present ordinance permits it. But
and again, it's not just my opinion. I think if you go, and of course Mr. Griffin can review with you a couple of the recent cases that you're all familiar with, the Gibbons case down in Rehoboth, particularly.
Gibson.
You know, the case kind of spelled out that if something's permitted, it's permitted, and it doesn't matter whether the law is what you stand on.
But if you told me a minute ago that they are able to say no, they are able to say no because of why? Because they have good reasons to say no. Now then, maybe in Isaac's Glen, the record wasn't established well enough by the Planning and Zoning Commission or the agencies, and maybe this one, they did have better reasoning and rationale.
Well,
so,
and it's possible. Could
exactly.
Have. I
right.
disagree that they did. And
well, I know you do. You're getting paid to do that. You're like everybody's getting paid.
Mr. Cole.
You're getting paid to be counsel.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Wrong with that.
I know, but I don't. That doesn't
Mr. Cole.
Surprise me.
Mr. Cole.
An example would be this. If this was designed that we were cutting into these wetlands, and obviously if we had wetlands in those lot lines, you wouldn't approve it. Okay? And maybe if there was some type of encroachment.
That's permitted in the ordinance.
It is. Okay? But if you came that close to it, maybe you're getting into something that affects something. But in this design, Zach designed this to pull those lots back 100 feet from the wetlands. Those kind of things are the facts you have to deal with.
That was a nice little thing, but then
Mr. Cole, you said
Mr. Fuqua has indicated that he's completed. Concluded his presentation. Is there, Mr. Fuqua, you didn't plan to bring any other witnesses forward?
No, I don't know if you have any questions. As I said, I did submit conditions and findings of facts, so I would ask you to consider.
Mr. Lank still has, I think, 4 copies of the original presentation book, if any of you...
You have all everything that Jim's talked about, other than
yes.
what we got in our packet.
There was a presentation book that was submitted.
If any of you want to see those, talk to Mr. Lank. And there is a transcript that each of you have a copy of that. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. At this point, we'll ask if there's anyone here who wishes to be heard in opposition or who has a question regarding the appeal presentation made by Mr. Fuqua on behalf of his client. Mr. Kramer?
No, sure. Sir, can you state your name so we know who you are?
My name is Dan Kramer.
Address, please.
Scottsdale Road.
The city. Scottsdale Road. 8041 Scottsdale Road. Greenwood. Now, seems to me this ought not even be here. Why not? Well, first you had no opposition. And including today's state news, did you read the state news today? What did they have to say about level four? It said, oh, we're not out to prevent development. Actually, it's even permitted in development four, but we're not going to upgrade the roads or anything like that.
They don't now.
Huh?
They don't now, Mr. Kramer, the developer does.
Well, I know they don't, but that's not the issue. The issue is the fact the state wants to say, you know, one thing. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth.
They don't do it in one or two or three.
Do what?
They don't do it one, two, or
Let
three.
Mr.
Level.
Kramer, finish, please, unless we're going to open this
hey,
up. I don't mind.
It is open.
I don't mind getting involved with it.
No.
And not on that, land preservation and development can work together. But guess what? Oh, we can't have that together. Why not? Dadgummit, every place around these towns, every town has farms around them. So how can you justify saying, no, we can't have development next to a farmer? Well, if that's the case, then the farmers might as well go all out of business, because it's being done every day of the week. And as far as I'm concerned, the planning and zoning had no excuse not to pass this thing, period.
Are you for or against this?
I'm for it.
Okay. We didn't know.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard regarding this subdivision appeal hearing? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized, and we will close the public hearing.
Gentlemen, entertain a motion to
make a motion that we defer.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Jones, second, Mr. Phillips, to defer on appeal of LaCrosse Homes of Delaware Incorporated subdivision number 2005-12, known as Hayfield. Questions, Mr. Cole?
What are we doing now?
Deferring.
Yes.
Mr. Cole votes yes. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I vote yes. Be on the schedule at a later date.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Way there should be a monument of you in the middle of that circle up there.
Rob Day-